All right,
I
we're
just had to
recording.
chime in and say that's what she said.
Hey.
Sorry. When you were like not sure how to answer that. Sorry about that.
It's okay. Well, I'm excited to be here. I heard that Sir Sleepy is maybe a little sleepy right now, but that's okay. I'm sure he's doing a great job, right?
Just a little bit. I'm bro, man. I'm so grateful for all these great co-hosts that I have on stage right now.
Yeah.
They've actually been in and out and helping a lot. Island has actually been here the whole time. Right now he's just going to the game, but they've been on for almost the whole thing already, so it's been great to have certain help that we didn't have last time, me and Tanel. Tanel was even able to, like, I haven't heard his voice in over like 8 hours or something like that. So it's definitely different than last time. Last time we had no breaks. So
That's insane, dude. I wouldn't even attempt something like that. So I'm pretty impressed that you guys are on the ball with this for 24 hours.
25 hours, actually.
25.
Sleepy.
Damn. That's
He added a
incredible.
bonus hour just to, torture a little harder.
That's amazing.
So, want to introduce I want you to maybe give an intro to the audience that that might not know you.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Arcanox. I also go by Nick, and I've been on Noster since almost the beginning. I think I made my first post February 2022. I found Noster because I was trying to research Lightning, and I ended up finding Fiat Joff's GitHub profile, which he had like a lot of really cool little Lightning experiments. And so I was just checking those out, and then I saw this markdown document called Noster, and I was like, oh, what's that? And I read it, and it only took me like 5 minutes to read it, and because it's like, 2 pages or 3 pages. And then after I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Because we'd all been very familiar with the censorship issues on Twitter and other platforms and stuff, and I just thought that Noster immediately made sense. And so I set up a pub key and started using Brandly, and there was like 50 people on Noster at the time, and you couldn't even find them all because there is no discovery or anything like that built in. But it was kind of cool. I mean, it was really novel to like have cryptographically signed tweets essentially. And so like I was talking to Will, he was super early too, 0xTR, some other people like that. Uncle Bob Martin was on super, super early. So it was a very small community back then. And then I kind of didn't use it for like basically until it was like 9 months later or so that Jack joined. And that's when things really picked up. And I had been away, and then I came back and I was like, oh man, all these clients have really improved. And there's like multiple, choices of clients that didn't even exist back when I first started, because Brandly was really the only client at the time. So then it just got really fun, and I started using Amethyst, and then a couple months later, that's when I actually kind of started my first Noster project, which is Ono Sendai. And I hadn't worked on Noster in terms of coding yet. I'm a developer, and so I wanted to get into it, but I didn't know what to make, and I ended up kind of like realizing like, hey, this Noster protocol, it has so much potential. And I felt like there's like so much more you could do with it. I've been working in like GIS, geo kind of stuff. I've been working in augmented reality and VR, VR AR, stuff like that. And so I had this sort of like geospatial visual kind of mindset coming into Noster, and obviously everything on Noster was text-based and kind of like tweets and stuff. And I was like, man, I wonder if you could do something 3D. Like, can you make a 3D world on Noster? Is that possible? And I mean, as a programmer, you understand that like everything basically boils down to numbers, and numbers are just text. And since Noster's really good at text, I was like, there's got to be a way. So I started experimenting with it, and that's where I came up with Ono Sendai, which is my first proof of concept for building a 3D world on the Noster protocol. So if you go to onosendai.tech, you can check it out. And it's just a kind of a proof of concept right now, but I have an OpenSats grant to develop it into something much, much more, which is really exciting. So that's kind of where I got started with Noster. And everything has just been incredible since then. I've since pivoted my, I'm a co-founder of a company called Innovator, and it's an augmented reality company. And we are a very small company. We didn't take any VC money because we didn't want to. So we're just trying to develop it kind of within, but we have a product called Yonder, and it's a web app where you can, invite others, to a private kind of room. And you can, when your friend joins, you can see each other's locations in real time in augmented reality. And so it's a really handy tool for, like, if you're at a concert or something, you can hold up your phone and look through your camera and see where your friend is at. And it's really good for, like, keeping groups of people together. Like, we've used it, my co-founder used it at Disney World with his family. We've used it at a whole bunch of different places. And so that was kind of like our original idea was, like, what can we do with augmented reality that's really practical and useful? And Yonder was the result of that. And so we started to monetize Yonder by selling places in virtual space to businesses, and we call them beacons. And so, like, imagine you have a concert, you can monetize, or you can basically make your guest experience better by buying beacons in Yonder. And then you can have, like, a beacon on the main stage and a beacon on the food trucks and a beacon on the bathrooms and the entrances and exits and campground and all that stuff. And so then people, instead of carrying around a paper map or whatever, they just go to this convenient website, and it allows them to find places at the concert, and also places and also their friends. And it's not just concerts. It's basically any event or attraction. Like, we've done college campuses. We've talked to military bases. We've talked to all sorts of, you know, different places where there's, like, street fairs and other things like that. So that was Yonder. And coming into Nostr, I was like, oh, there's got to be some kind of, like, crossover. You know, there's got to be some way to Nostrify Yonder. And I finally figured it out earlier this year, and I made a prototype. And you can check it out at go.yonder.me. But basically, it's a world map where anyone can publish a place, just like Google Maps, but without the Google involved, which is fantastic, because I have a chip on my shoulder against big tech, and I want to destroy them all with open source protocols. And so that's what I'm here to do. And I think it's super cool that you can publish a place on Nostr, and it's like, you don't have the Google business mob censoring you or you know, whatever. You can just cryptographically own that place. You're the one who controls it. And then that place could represent your business, or it could represent, you know, a meetup, or all sorts of different stuff. And there's so many other things that we're going to be adding to Yonder over the next couple of months. I'm super excited. So we kind of actually have two versions of Yonder right now. We have the old one, yonder.me, and then we have the new Nostr powered one, go.yonder.me. And eventually, all the features, like the augmented reality and stuff, that's going to be added into the new Nostr-powered version, and then the old one is just going to go away, and it's just going to be totally Nostr-powered. And our customers will not even know that they're using Nostr, but if they want to, they'll be able to export their private key and kind of get a little onboarding to other Nostr ecosystem stuff, like different apps and things like that. So it's just a really exciting kind of new paradigm to get into. Like, I give props to my co-founder for being, like, willing to go on this sort of very experimental direction with our flagship products and allow us to basically invest in the Nostr ecosystem and become part of it with what we've developed. I just think it's super exciting, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity to do it. And I'm grateful for Nostr. I'm grateful for all of you guys. And I'm just excited to build with y'all. So that's a little bit about my background and what I'm up to. And yeah, I'm just here to hang and answer questions and chat with you guys. So let's go.
Freaking awesome, man. Can you hear me by any chance?
Yep, I'm still... I can hear you.
Awesome. Just got to make sure that the Nest is working properly, because we've already been rugged a couple times.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it's all good. It's all good. So coming off of what you were saying, I'm curious as to, I don't know if I should also tell them that I'm an ambassador for Yonder as well.
Yep, you're our first official ambassador for Yonder, which is awesome.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I told you, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So thank you guys. Yeah, so I need to this is something that that I'm gonna like really enjoy this talk because I just need to like dive more into just learning more about it, like things that I might have not asked you that other
Yeah.
people might have questions about.
Yeah, I'd love to answer any questions you guys have.
Yeah, so I have so we have Seth, we have Biddish, and we have Island, who I don't know, I don't think he'll be able to ask any questions. But we have them on, so they could also like jump in at any moment in time. Mallory,
Yeah.
you're welcome to ask any questions as well.
If you guys just send me a, like tag me in a note on Nostr, I could ask or I could answer those too.
Awesome.
I'm gonna leave. I've gotta go deal with a family matter, but I'll be back later.
All right, Mallory. Thanks for being
See ya.
here.
Have a good chat. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Take care. All right. I don't know if we if you want to maybe tell them about because I want them to get like to know you a little bit better as well. Maybe a little bit about your
Yeah.
Bitcoin journey.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my Bitcoin journey, like it all started like I heard about Bitcoin. I actually had a friend who bought a whole Bitcoin at $900 and he was telling me about it. He's like, "Dude, you got to do it too." And I was like, you know, I was like a poor college student at the time or whatever, and I was like, "Nah, man, that's like an arcade token. Like, why would I want to spend $900 on an arcade token?" I didn't know anything about Bitcoin, obviously. Most people had that sort of reaction back then. Then, you know, several years passed and the price had been going up and I didn't really notice, but then I was at a party and these guys were, I was talking to these guys and they're like, "So you're like a tech guy, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Oh, well, what do you know about Bitcoin?" And I was like, "Oh, man, I don't know anything about Bitcoin." And I left that night and I went home and I'm like, why don't I know anything about this? Like I'm a quote unquote tech guy. Like I should know something about it. And so I just started researching it. And I had seen it in the Cash app, which I had already. And so I like went into the Cash app and started like looking at what they had for Bitcoin, you know, info. And I started like reading about it and I was like, okay, this is interesting. And I'd seen like how the price was moving and I was like, okay, well, this seems like a pretty awesome deal how it's going up and stuff. And so I bought a little bit. Like I remember my heart was like pounding when I bought my first $10 worth of Bitcoin. And it was just $10, but like I had this fear that it was just gonna vaporize as soon as I bought it or something. Like it was just gonna dematerialize and disappear. It was just this kind of weird feeling to get into it, but it was magical too. And so I fell into the rabbit hole after that pretty hard. I started buying more and more. I got into like Bitcoin Twitter. And then I went through a shitcoin phase, regrettably, but you know, I have to admit it. I thought it was really interesting how like it's hard to discern the motives. A lot of them are nefarious, but I did find it really cool how there was like so much interesting, like out of the box thinking. In that realm, unfortunately, most of it is just scams, you know, and stuff. But there was just really cool ideas, and I hadn't yet discovered like the really interesting side of Bitcoin. So I thought it was just like the first cryptocurrency, and that was it. Turns out Bitcoin is actually the most interesting cryptocurrency of all of them. It is, it's like, you know, you got like Lightning and RGB and like all these other interesting protocols built on top of it, and Arc. And yeah, the Taproot, and just like there's so much going on with Bitcoin. It's like you don't once I realized that, it captured all of my attention. I always wanted to, like, as a developer, I wanted to build on Bitcoin, but I also kind of felt like it was just above my intelligence level. Like I just wasn't qualified to do it. And that's when I was researching Fiat Joff's GitHub. And then I kind of fell into Nostr and I'm like, well, Nostr, I can handle that. Like, you know, handling code for money is very stressful kind of sounding, but handling code for Nostr is like way easier and more simple. And I feel like it's a natural fit for my skill set and the stuff that I want to build. And I think that there's other people who are like very, very qualified for building on Bitcoin, and I'm thankful for them. So yeah, I and then I went you know, I went back to full Bitcoin maxi, and then I tried to like orange pill everybody. And, you know, I had limited success, but luckily my family is fairly on board. Nobody is as bullish as I am. Just last night I was over at my parents' house, and my mom was like, "Oh, I heard that Bitcoin could go all the way up to 76,000 next year." And I was like, "Oh, that's pretty pessimistic, because I'm an absolute perma bull. I think nobody's bullish enough, and it's not about, you know, it's not all about the dollar sign value, but I'm just excited for what Bitcoin can do for society and revaluing everything properly and realigning people's priorities and just getting rid of all the grifting that goes on everywhere. Because it's just ridiculous. Like, I recently we're updating our 401ks we do that every year. You update like how much you want to contribute. I literally set mine to zero because I'm like, fuck this entire circus and all these games, and I don't care that I get like a match. I'm just not going to do it because I'm buying the top of this massive bubble that, in my opinion, is going to collapse like probably next year. And every single dollar I put into the stock market now is going to be worth like a cent later on. And so I was just like, screw it. And then they tried to call me and they're like, "What are you doing?" And I was just like, screw this. I don't want any part of it. It's just a big, massive scam, all of it. I just can't, like, I can't unsee it. You know, like everything is a scam compared to Bitcoin these days. So that's my deal. I'm not going to, like, you know, I don't really try to convert people anymore. Like, I kind of gave up on that. I'm just like minding my own business. I'm in my lane. I'm not surprised when banks fail. You know, it's actually kind of fun. I just make sure that, you know, hopefully the loved ones that I have aren't on the tail end of that, getting the brunt of it. But yeah, does that answer your question, Sleepy?
Yeah, hell yeah. No, that was perfectly put, man. That was great.
Sweet.
Yeah, I have, I'm curious about, remember that, I think I'm looking at it right now. It's Nostr Rocket, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I was curious, because I tried explaining it to a couple of friends here on Nest, and mm-hmm. I wasn't able to explain it well. Like I tried to. The best way that I put it was with a comparison of a DAO, right?
Sure.
But there's obviously like a way better way to explain it. And I was just curious if you could explain how Go Yonder is actually like ties in with Nostr Rocket.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you bringing that up, because Nostr Rocket is another one of those things where, like, just like Nostr, the moment I saw it, I was like, yes, this is so what the world needs. So Nostr Rocket is, I explain it like this. If you want to organize human action, typically what you do is you create a company, right? And a company is a top-down kind of structure. You know, there's leadership, there's people underneath the leadership who have to do what they say. It's a very kind of pyramid structure. And then also companies are very much under the pyramid of the state. It doesn't matter what country you're in. If you're a registered company, you are subservient to the state, and that is problematic. And so Nostr Rocket to me, it's an evolution of the company. Like, I feel like in the future, when we talk about Nostr Rocket, hopefully we come up with a better name for it. Number one, I'm working on that. But number two, hopefully people talk about it as if like it's the current thing, and they'll talk about companies like, "Oh yeah, remember when we used to do companies? That was silly." Because Nostr Rocket just makes so much more sense. Nostr Rocket is a way to coordinate sovereign action. So instead of being in a company where you're under a pyramid structure, every person who's working on Nostr Rocket is a individual who is basically operating on their own like whims, their own schedule, their own initiatives, their own drive and ambition. But Nostr Rocket finds a way to take sovereign individuals and to direct the sum of their action towards accomplishing useful things. So for example, Yonder, the new Go Yonder, I've turned it into a NostraRocket project. And what that means is basically what I've done is I've open sourced the code and I've made it so that anyone is allowed to contribute to it. And the thing about NostraRocket is that it creates a mechanism where it's like funny because we don't have words for this stuff yet. Like we literally need to invent new words, because you could say that by working on a NostraRocket project, you gain ownership of that project, but that isn't actually how it works. It's just like the best words we have to describe it. So imagine if you worked for a company and like your pay was actually shares in the company. And so like if that company made money, then the more you worked on it, the more like percent of the money it makes you would get. That's really not, it's like the best analogy we have for what it's like.
Hey, wait, why am I on stage again? Or is it tripping?
Oh man, this broke again.
It's like flipping and going crazy.
Hello.
My bad, Arcanox. It rugged again.
That's okay. Just let me know when I can continue.
Yeah, let me see. It's audience. Let's actually, let me see if it'll do anything in the next 10 minutes. I mean, 10 seconds.
Okay. Does your mind the old Twitter days?
I think it's good. Well, look, it's bringing up to now. Did somebody bring up to now, or did he?
I came back myself.
Oh. Okay. Well, let's give it another shot. Let me see if the recording ended. No, it didn't. Supposedly still recording.
Okay. Sounds good. So, let's see. Where was I? So, yeah, NostraRocket. When you work on a NostraRocket project, what you're doing is you are basically, anyone can identify like what the next step for the project is toward making it successful. So like with Yonder, our next steps are, what can we do to make Yonder so that it appeals to more people, is useful to more people, and also makes money. And so those, whatever those next steps are, people can claim those next steps and start working on them. And once they complete those little pieces of the puzzle, and ideally each of these pieces is small enough that you could do it in like 6 hours or less. When you complete one of those pieces, you can submit what's called a merit request. And then the merit holders for the project get to approve or deny that request. And so if you did a good job and you actually solved the problem, then they'll probably most likely approve it. And then you get merits. And the NostraRocket system is a decentralized way of keeping track of merits. And merits are all one-to-one, so like they're valued at satoshis, so like one merit is always one satoshi. And so you get these merits, and basically those merits allow you to get paid when Yonder gets paid. So if we release a feature for Yonder where you can pay via Lightning for something, like let's just say it's something silly like, a you know, you're paying for an avatar or something in the app. We have way better ideas than that, but that's just an example. So someone goes and they buy an avatar with Lightning. That Lightning payment is actually sent directly to the merit holders, non-custodially. So if you own merits in Yonder because you've contributed to it, then you are being paid directly by the customer for the product. And so that's how you make money. You can also sell your merits if you want to someone else who wants that revenue potential, and then you could sell them like at a bit, you know, at the one-to-one Satoshi value. And so then if you earn merits and you just want to get paid right away and you don't want to wait around for that revenue, you can just try to find someone who will buy them and you can do it like that. One thing I hope to do is that with my company, like we're trying to, you know, get more clients and earn more revenue and stuff. What I ideally want to do is I want to actually offer to buy merits from contributors who want to get paid right away, so that basically we're giving them like an ongoing income for contributing to the project. And I think that would just be really cool, because then like you're making open source work, you know what I mean? That's another thing is Nostra Rocket is designed to eliminate venture capitalism from the face of the earth. Like, you don't need it anymore. You just have to work on this problem of making your product better until it can gain that revenue and start paying the contributors directly in proportion to what they've contributed. So I just think it's a genius system. It was invented by G Sovereignty, and I've become kind of his biggest advocate for it to help explain it and stuff like that. And I'm just really excited to see how Yonder is kind of like the biggest project on Nostra Rocket right now. And so I'm excited to see how it kind of turns out and stuff like that. I got a question from Vic. He said, how are Nostra Rocket merits not a security? One of the requirements in the United States for identifying what is and what isn't a security is if you have to invest money to receive it. And in terms of Nostra Rocket, you actually don't invest any money to receive merits. You actually only invest your effort. And that effort is subject to approval or denial. So nothing is actually being sold. And so that is one key distinction in as why it's not a security. There's four main things that identify what is and what isn't a security, according to the Howey test. But I've looked at that and I've gone through that. And in my opinion, like, I'm not a lawyer, but in my opinion, there's like either two or three reasons in that test why merits are not a security. But ultimately, I also want to mention this, Nostra Rocket doesn't give a shit about what the laws are because it's made to be outside of the control of the state. And, you know, obviously the state can apply pressure, but it can't apply pressure globally. And so it's a tool for the whole planet to be able to create open source tools that benefit humanity and move humanity forward and make money doing it. And ideally, it just kind of moves the planet towards a Bitcoin standard, whether anybody likes it or not. So that is why I'm excited about Nostra Rocket, because it just gives people the opportunity to like work and get paid for really, really worthwhile projects. And they don't have to, you know, be part of this traditional coercive structure anymore. I just think it's just very, very interesting, and I want to see it succeed. So if you're interested in being a part of it, you can join any of my Telegram groups, or you can join the Nostra Rocket Telegram group, or talk to G Sovereignty or DM me or whatever. Like, we can, you know, see how you can get involved, because it's not just coding. I actually earned my first merits by doing design work. I designed some logos for G. So you can actually make you can earn merits and earn Bitcoin via Nostra Rocket by doing kind of just anything that contributes to the success of the projects on Nostra Rocket. And I think that's super cool. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Go ahead, Sai, you have a question?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, could you go a little bit more into basically what you were just saying? Maybe outline a couple of the potential ways a person could contribute, and then simultaneously, you know, what kind of skill set they would need, just to give a better idea of who can contribute, what they should be able to bring to the table, and how to do that.
Yeah, so when you put a project onto Nostra Rocket, you then have to identify what are called problems. And a problem is a formal statement that helps you kind of work through in your brain, like, okay, where do we want to go? We want more users and more revenue. What product do we have? We have Yonder. How do we get there? Okay. And then you break that how do we get there down into very, very small, increasingly smaller chunks. Like, the first problem might be big, but then you can log problems underneath it in like a tree kind of structure. And so you and anyone can do this. I do this all the time. Other contributors to Yonder do it. You log problems and you kind of just break these problems down into smaller and smaller pieces until the pieces are so small that anyone can just kind of pick it up and solve it if they have the right skill set. And so one, you know, if you look at a project, say you're a marketing guy, you might look at a project and you're like, okay, this is a lot of potential, but no one's going to use it if they don't know about it. So like, I'm going to log a problem about getting, like, we need to, you know, like put out an ad to show people this product, or we need to create some sort of material like video explaining this product or demoing this product, or we need to go to a conference to like, you know, talk about this product or something like that. you could log a problem for that, and then you could, if you wanted to, claim it and then solve that problem by like going to the conference. Or you could even say you wanted to go to this conference to talk about Yonder, for example, but you didn't have the money. Well, you could log a sub problem underneath that says, hey, problem, the conference costs like $2,000 and I don't have that, so can someone solve this problem for me and like pay for the conference? And then somebody else could come in and actually pay for it. And that's legit. Like, it sounds funny, but it's true. Like, everything that is in your path to success is a problem, and it can be solved by anybody who wants to solve it. And then, like, say someone did pay for that, well, they could log a merit request to be in reimbursed merits for the Satoshis that they spent on getting you to the conference. And that would be in their best, you know, interest. And so it's just this really kind of interesting way that creates this like working together dynamic, and it can work for any skill set. It doesn't have to be coding. Although I will say that like initially, like NostraRocket is just getting started, a lot of the problems are going to be code related, but we also need marketing. We also need design. We also need UI UX. And so I really am excited to get other people with those skill sets involved. Does that answer your question, Sai?
Yeah, I'm on my Bluetooth in my truck. I'm not sure if you can still hear me. That answers my question perfectly.
Cool. Yep, I can hear you.
I had an additional question, but I'll wait for a minute because I'm driving. But before okay. You leave, I'll ask you one more. That's cool.
Yeah, no problem. So what else do we want to talk about? Any other questions from the crowd?
Anybody in the audience have any questions? Raise your hand. Frank?
I do remember the one that I was about to say.
Sure.
Frank, you want to go real quick? I'll just spit it out. Sure. So with the credit system, with the merit system, if you were to hold on to your merits and not want to cash them out immediately for a meeting, would be considered like a residual income or a passive income over time if you just hold on to merits, and then as the project and everything grows, you will eventually see higher payouts like in the future if you hodl these merits?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're like, everyone's merits are basically equal, but it's the number of merits that you have that would make you, you know, like more profitable if you hodl them. So yeah, I mean, like for the projects that I'm working on, I'm really excited to hodl a whole bunch of merits and to just kind of collect that passive income for how, you know, when the product starts making money, like if you have a big pool of merits, you're going to get a lot of that income. How the income is actually distributed is it goes like this. So say I earn 100 merits, and then Sir Sleepy earns 100 merits, and that's all the merits there are. So say someone pays, they pay like 50 Satoshis for something. So I earned merits first, so my merits are the oldest. So I would get those 50 Satoshis paid to me, and I would have 50 unpaid merits remaining. And then say someone else buys something for 50 Satoshis, then I get the next 50, and then someone buys something else for 50 Satoshis, and then Sir Sleepy gets paid because his are the next oldest unpaid merits. So it's kind of like this round robin that just pays everybody until they basically receive their share, and then it goes back to the oldest unpaid merits. So I think that there might be some complexities in there that I haven't fully grokked from the protocol, but that's basically how it works. The point is to make it as fair as possible to everyone involved so that there isn't any like conflicts about who gets paid how much when, you know, for their work. It just makes it like radically fair and transparent for how you get paid. Frank, did you have a question?
So just to
can you hear me
reiterate quickly? So
yeah.
If a guy makes, let's say he does a little bit of graphics on the project, and let's say he doesn't have that many merits, so he really only ever sees, you know, let's just call it 50 Satoshis, he sees that maybe once a month. But will he, later on down the line, when everything's way, way bigger, if that guy only ever had those
merit points and never accrued anymore, is he always going to see 50 Satoshis paid out to him every single month forever? Or, and this would incentivize actually doing, solving more problems, because then the more merits you hold, you'd see larger payouts over time. But like, it, like if that guy only does one little tiny project and it's just little 50 sats, does he eventually get phased out at some point where he's just such a tiny merit holder that he doesn't even see a payout? Or
No, he would always get those 50 sats. But here's the thing, is that the pool of merits for a project will be increasing every time someone solves a problem and gets awarded merits. And so if you think of like the total income for the project from all customers, imagine like an amount, like say it's a million sats a month is coming in from customers. Well, you know, you have to basically take how many merits divided by like how many merits are in the pool total divided by total income from customers. And then he's getting, you know, 50 sats of that. So yeah, I mean, if you just do one little task and you never do anything more, you're kind of going to get paid like what you did. Like there's not really like a, you know, it doesn't grow with time. It actually gets smaller with time, but that's actually kind of like the fairest way to go about it. So there's kind of like not a huge benefit for being early, but there is a benefit for continuing to contribute. And that actually makes it also much less like a security, because with a security, like if you get in early, you get in for a low price. Well, that's a huge benefit. Well, with merits, it's not really like that. Another thing with merits that make it not like a security is that its value is always the same. It's always 1-to-1 with Satoshis. And so there isn't like an appreciation of value of merits, really. I mean, it's possible that a project could be so desirable that people would want to buy your merits for more than they're worth, but they could also just contribute to the problem tree and make their own merits, and that would be like a cheaper way of getting them. So it's just a really genius system, and I think it's very balanced. But let's hear from Frank. I want to hear Frank's question.
Yes, I was going to ask about that other project that you're doing, OneSendai.tech. Can you go into a little bit more about that, please?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So OneSendai it started out as a proof of concept, like I explained earlier, but and it was a proof of concept for like, can you build a virtual 3D world on Nostr? I've always been interested in the idea of like cyberspace and the metaverse, and I've gone and read like every single book I can find. I still have books to read through, but like I've read Neuromancer and Ready Player One and Snow Crash and like all these books that I could find about the metaverse and cyberspace. And what I've realized is that nobody today, not even Meta, not even Zuckerberg, is building anything remotely even close to what cyberspace was originally envisioned to be. Originally, cyberspace was meant to be a permissionless, omnipresent digital space that is finite, where anyone can come in and operate completely permissionlessly. And it was a place for business and education and commerce and crime and entertainment. It was like literally everything happened in cyberspace. And there's these properties. When I was reading through these books, I was like, there's certain properties of cyberspace and the metaverse that were very, very consistent across these books, even though all these books are by different authors with different ideas at different points in history. And I thought that was super interesting. And so what I basically started kind of researching this, and I've realized like, hey, no one's building a metaverse that actually does what these sci-fi authors described, but we have the technology to do it. The main pieces that you need to build a metaverse that actually matches what it was predicted is you need a permissionless protocol, which is Nostr, and you need proof of work. And proof of work is never specifically mentioned in any of these novels, but it just so happens that if you apply proof of work, the concept of proof of work, to any of these stories, it actually makes everything make complete sense. Like in some of these books, you have people who have like really, really nice cyberspace gear, like hardware. They have really good cyberspace hardware, and that makes them better in cyberspace. Like they're more powerful, more adept. well, how does that make any sense that like in a virtual 3D world, you should have more power if you have better hardware? The only thing that can explain that is if you have more hash power and the actions you take in cyberspace are based on your hash power. And so the metaverse that I'm building, which I call cyberspace, which is the original name for a 3D virtual world, cyberspace is a permissionless metaverse where every single thing you do requires proof of work. So if you want to move, proof of work. If you want to like build something, it requires proof of work. If you want to communicate, it requires proof of work. And everything you do is scaled by that proof of work. So if you like mine a Noster event to move and it's like 20 proof of work, then you'll go 20 acceleration and you'll just zoom off. But if you mine like a one proof of work, then you'll just get one acceleration and you just don't go as fast. But you're going to be mining like multiple events per second to do different actions. And basically they're all mined in a little bit of a chain. So it's not a blockchain. It's like a personal like hash chain. And it allows anyone else to verify your actions cryptographically. So that's what you're doing is fairly enforceable as legitimate. So Ono Sendai is basically the first client for cyberspace. Cyberspace is a true metaverse that is consequential and anchored in reality by thermodynamics. It's a permissionless thermodynamic metaverse.
Maybe I'm all wrong on this, but I guess what I was, you know, kind of envisioning was like a 3D world for Noster, maybe its own Noster client, where like this audio nest right here, which is, you know, a static page, and we see our static, you know, PFPs and such. And what I'm getting at is, if you developed that 3D world, and everybody could theoretically buy real estate, you know, it would be you know, fake real estate, but it would be a real place on Noster, basically like Frog Talk here or Noster Nest, but in 3D. Is that, am I wrong on that?
No, you could absolutely do that. And here's the thing, you wouldn't buy the real estate because that's not possible. The only way to get real estate in cyberspace is to mine it with proof of work, which I think is the only fair way to allow people to buy a digital real estate. Because then you can obtain it without any intermediaries and nobody is disproportionately benefiting from it. So like, I don't get paid for making cyberspace. I'm not like this, you know, puppet master. Like I'm creating a protocol that anyone can build on. And so like, I think it'd be awesome if someone mined a place in cyberspace and they made it like the frog nest and people could go there and listen to broadcasts that are, they would be geospatially limited to that space. You could only get the broadcast if you were in that space. And I think that would be super awesome. So yeah, I'm right there with you.
So there's you know, several places that you can go on online right now that have 3D worlds, and I could just picture a 3D world of Noster, like maybe a city, for an example, and you call it Noster City, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I'm just talking out loud here, but instead of mining it, you know, maybe you could, you know, maybe you do mine your first original space in that city. But then after that, you could sell that space to somebody else. Maybe you built this really big house, and you know, and you could walk around and see different people's, you know, if they have a podcast going on, you can go to a podcast commercial site in that city. I guess what I'm getting at is to make this, instead of just so static and like a Noster Nest client, make it so 3D. And there are, you know, a few small applications doing that, not on Noster, but in other places where you can, you know, maybe in your world, trade in Bitcoin and Lightning and Liquid or whatever, and, you know, doing mining and also, but everybody is more 3D in that. Is that way too far off?
No, I think that's all 100% possible in the cyberspace that I'm building. The only thing that I don't think is possible is selling real estate. And the reason why is because to sell digital assets, you need to use a blockchain. And the reason why is because you have to solve the double spend problem. And Bitcoin was the first technology to solve the double spend problem trustlessly. And so it's impossible to really transfer a digital cryptographic asset from one public key to another without a blockchain, because you have to have that time element. And because cyberspace real estate is done without a blockchain, it's all just mining. You're mining yourself. You're mining your own events, basically. The only way that you could possibly sell it is if you were to like sell the private key to that space. But that doesn't really work because then you still have a copy of the private key. So really, the only way to take someone else's space in cyberspace is to mine over them. Like you mine higher proof of work to steal their space from them. But that, I think, mathematically is going to be exceedingly rare just because of how large cyberspace is. But yeah, okay. I mean, the other stuff you're talking about is totally, I think that would be awesome to build in cyberspace. And I think it's definitely possible.
Okay. Take out the aspect, I'm sorry, about the you know, buying and selling of real estate in the cyber world. But let's say you had this cyber world of Nostr. I think that would be the hugest, most amazing client ever. I mean, I think if people developed on that, all the other clients, you know, they're, you know, kind of similar to Twitter. This would be actually 3D. You get into onesendai.tech and you log in with your Nostr credentials, and then the next thing you know, you're a 3D avatar or whatever, and you're interacting with other 3D avatars, and you have all these different things you can do, all these, you know, different places you can go and listen to podcasts. You can open up a private room, you can talk privately, you can walk around and do different things. I just see a lot of, you know, this could be, you know, very huge.
Yeah, and what you're describing is exactly what I am basically working on building with Onosendai and in cyberspace. And I got an OpenSats grant to work on Onosendai, which is super, super cool. So for the next year, I'm basically funded to work towards building the first cyberspace client to do what you're basically describing. And I'm really, really excited to see that happen. But I will also say to one of your other points that one aspect I've been thinking about a lot about this, and one aspect of Nostr clients is the dimensionality of information. The type of information you consume and experience in cyberspace will probably be fundamentally different from the type of information you consume in like a Twitter-like client. And that's okay. We need Twitter-like clients. We need Kind One clients. We need clients like Yonder to do mapping. We need Onosendai to do cyber stuff. And those are all just different, you know, like just because you can do something in 3D space doesn't mean it's a better way to consume information. It has to be the right kind of information. And like, you know, spatial 3D, spatial audio, things like that are really, really well suited to a 3D space like cyberspace. But, you know, like if you're talking location or maps, you know, that's better suited to like a map or augmented reality. And then if you're talking just consuming like feeds of information, probably best to do that with something like Twitter. So I think there's a place for all clients. I'm not trying to replace every other client. And I don't even think that a 3D space would be good at replacing every other client, but I think it would be a really, really cool killer feature to add to Nostr that brings people on board.
Super cool idea. I could just picture like three avatars going up to each other and starting a conversation. Say you didn't have audio. I mean, I think audio would be, of course, extremely important to have in there. But say everybody in that conversation, or even if one person wants to just do texting like we normally do on just regular Nostr, just texting each other, and you could see the text right above the avatars, and it could go, you know, however many layers deep it needs to. And so you can, combine everything into one world, you know, whether it's texting, storage of photos or video, you know, you could see avatars, you could look up, you know, if that particular avatar wanted to be in a different location and they wanted to choose to toggle on or off, whether they can be discoverable, you can say, Sir Sleepy's over here in this building over here, for example. I could instantly go over there. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, but I just think there's a ton of possibilities that could come from this.
Yeah, you should join our Telegram group. If you have Telegram and just like, you know, share your ideas and stuff, because that's what it's all about, is just like sharing ideas and building what we want to see in the world, you know. It's / Onosendai Tech, all caps. And it's on my profile on Nostr. So if you just check out my profile, there's a link to it. But we'd love to have you around. And anybody else in the audience, like, it's just an open group to talk about cyberspace. So we need ideas like that to continue building, and I'm super excited to build some of the stuff that you've talked about. I just want to make, I think it shouldn't be understated. Like, you can't overstate how important it is to have an open source metaverse protocol that is easy to use and truly permissionless, because that just doesn't exist. Now, there's other open source metaverse protocols. You know, are they permissionless? Probably not. None of them are based on proof of work. This is the only protocol that's based on proof of work. And if that doesn't totally make sense to you, I invite you to meditate on it, because based on my research, it's the only way to actually make a truly decentralized permissionless protocol work, because it allows for, you know, like the just the, like you don't have admins then who can like lock you out. You don't have someone who can ban you. It's all completely opt-in, and the proof of work is what basically mediates all of the interactions. So, Daniel, what's up, man? Good to see you. He has a question. Let's hear what you have to say. It's my boy.
Sorry, I had to refresh because I wasn't seeing myself on stage.
Are you good?
Okay. Yeah, no, I remember we had a really good talk the other week about, you know, the background that I had in sort of location-based social networking.
Yeah.
I was kind of a power user of Foursquare back in the day. And I love the idea of being able to gamify social media. I think there's so many options and opportunities there that. Though I think the metaverse stuff, while it's interesting to me, I'm not as much of a fan of it only because of the bandwidth considerations. And if we can solve that, it might help. But like sometimes you just want to walk around with your phone in your pocket and you don't want to have to be staring at the screen to interact with things everywhere you go. But I really do think there's so many opportunities for the growth of this space in the location stuff. And I was, you know, at the same time I sort of discovered Yonder, I was also exploring Flockster. And I'm looking for, you know, kind of a merger between these two technologies that kind of can bring live events and scheduled events together in a space so you can actually promote things that you're working on in your community. I think community is one of the most important things when you're especially trying to build something that like what we're building, social networking on top of Bitcoin. You know, it's still a very niche kind of environment. And to be able to have the ability to connect with people in the real world, sometimes you just need that to be able to show the power of what this technology can offer. And so I'm, you know, very bullish on where things are going with this. And I'd love to see more collaboration across all the sort of event-based Noster applications.
Yeah, I realized a couple of weeks ago after I used Flockster to coordinate the first dev call for Yonder, I was like, okay, we have to upgrade Yonder. I want to add a feature to Yonder where you can see events on the map. It'll actually put the event on the map. It'll show upcoming events and where they're at. It'll help you navigate to the events and RSVP to them. And it can load all the same data that Flockster is bringing, or is, because it's all standard NIP 51, I think, calendar events. And so Flockster is just creating NIP 51 events. We can consume those events via Yonder and put them on the map. And I think that's just, yeah, like you said, super powerful to tie these things together. I love Flockster, so I'm really, really excited to make that happen.
Yeah, I think one of the big challenges we have is there's so many good ideas, but they're all sort of siloed. And to build something that works with multiple apps across a single protocol where you can just seamlessly go from one to another and you can import the data from one into another. And the fact that we can all just do that using our NSEC is wonderful. And I'd love to see these sort of like powered by Flockster, powered by Yonder elements start to permeate within the app space that we have. So like, it doesn't matter if you're using, you know, a kind one client, it still has the ability to see those kinds of events and pop it open. Just like we want to see Noster Nest become the live event standard for all of the Noster clients. Like if I'm, you know, bringing a friend on to Domus and I have another friend on Amethyst, I don't think I should have to show them 10 other different websites that they can connect to be able to do all the things that Noster can do. And I think the real power is going to be in sort of hybridizing all that and bringing all those under one umbrella. Even though they're different apps with different developers, there should be more, I think, continuity across the system.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for comments and reviews on places in Yonder, but they show up in social clients. And I've talked a lot with a couple of people about like how can we actually aggregate when someone's talking about a place, how can we bring that, just a regular text note, how can we bring that into Yonder to show that someone is talking about this location? And maybe it might be using AI or some sort of tagging system, but yeah, there's so much crossover. It's just, that's the power of the Nostr protocol, and we have to leverage it because that's going to be what really ultimately makes it different from anything else.
I think that's you know, especially with the private key management, that's going to be a really important part. Like if I'm signed in to Amethyst, I should be able to then do things on other Nostr apps that are already connected to Amethyst to be able to interact with those protocols without having to sign in again. That's kind of what I'm hoping to see in the next year.
Yeah, man, what a great year it's been too. I just want to say, like, you know, there's a lot of people out there who I feel like they're sort of, they got this urgency where they're like, oh man, we got to compete with like Threads. We have to compete with Instagram. We have to compete with Facebook and Twitter. And we have to compete with all these things. We have to make Nostr better and it's got to win like right now. And I just don't think that's true. Like, I think we're doing amazing things. 2023 has been an amazing year. We've seen some incredible, we've gone from like zero to hero in 1 year, which is just nuts. And the amount of talent we have developing on Nostr right now is, I guarantee you, it's like rivaling those big tech companies. Like they don't have that, they don't have all that same talent under the same roof. And we're all doing it independently, but we're working together on the same protocol. It's like, you know, we just have so much good stuff happening with Nostr. So I am bullish. I'm confidently bullish on Nostr. I'm not worried about other social media protocols. I think we're going to win. Let's just like stay humble and stay patient and keep building. That's what I'm going to do.
That was beautifully said. Beautiful.
Thanks, man. Beautiful. Yeah, I really appreciate being here. I think my hour is up. Obviously, I could probably talk for a lot longer, but I'm happy to, you know, if you guys want to DM me or chat later or whatever, I'm super open to that. So just let me know and we can, you know, keep the conversation going.
Awesome. Thank you for coming and lending us your time. You could hang out if you like. The Daniel's actually up next.
Oh, nice.
So, thank you for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Sir Sleepy. You rock.
You too, Nick. Take care, brother. Let me end the recording.